Good morning to everybody. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. And please join me over the next few minutes as we study from the Bible together. Just before I get started, I want to mention a couple of things. News and notes is on the table in the foyer. Please pick up a copy of that. And there's several things on there of interest. But make sure you flip over the backside, since there are almost 30 members of this congregation who are in our teaching program. On the backside of news and notes is the final copy of the teaching schedule. And I say that because almost always it'll need to be changed. But we've tried not to. So best we know, this is the teaching schedule going forward. So take a look at that. And of course, if there are some changes that need to be made, let me know and I'll do that. Tonight after services, those who might be interested in some Romans overtime work, we'll stick around after everybody kind of starts to leave. Then those who want to stay can come to the front and we'll work on the book of Romans a little bit longer. And so if that's of interest to you, please make your plans to stay for that and bring your questions and stuff from Romans chapter 5 and some of the things we've studied here in the past that might need to work over just a little bit. That's tonight after services. Well, in the Morgan family, this last week was a pretty eventful week. My brother's daughter, Kelly, her and her husband had their first child. And her name is Addison Ray. She's named after my mother. And she was born, they live near Elizabethtown, Kentucky. So Kim and I are looking forward to the time we'll make our first trip down there. And I imagine that it will happen then, like it happened in our case and in the case of many others, that there'll be probably a mother, Kelly, my niece in this case, who will take little Addie and who will have her wrapped in a swaddling blanket or something, and she will present Addie to Kim and I for the very first time. We'll take her and I'll turn her around so her head's in my left arm, and I will look at her for the very first time. And it's kind of a presentation as to family and friends is, you know, wow, it's special. It's very special. You're taking something that's very precious and special, you've prayed for, you've been so happy, and you're presenting that child for the first time to somebody else. And then after we hold her for a while, we may in turn present her to somebody else for them to hold her and look at for a while. That's just, you all know that. And the reason I tell you that is because I do know, you know how that kind of presentation takes place. I thought that, I wondered to what extent that something like that might have happened in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. Where Jesus was a child and his mother and father did a presentation. They presented this child Jesus in Jerusalem. And notice the presentation that takes place in this verse. For when the days of their purification according to the law were completed, they brought him, that is, brought Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I don't know. Of course, I don't know how that happened exactly or what he looked like, but can you imagine the specialness, now far exalted over family kinds of things that we think about. Now, way more than that, presenting Jesus to the Lord. This kind of moment has weight to it. And because I'm going to be talking about a different kind of presenting this morning, I do want you to think with me about the weight of significance that's attached to the very idea that you're taking something of your own and you're presenting it into the care, temporarily or longer, you're presenting it into the care of somebody else. That matters. That really is an important occasion. So with that in mind, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6, and let's read together verses 12, 13, and 14, And you'll now be watching for presentations that take place here. Romans 6, verses 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Paul wrote to the young evangelist Timothy and said to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. Okay, so the application of this lesson is not just to young people, though I must tell you, as I was working on this, I thought often of young people. Young people are called upon, young people like Timothy, and like young people in this audience this morning, are called upon to be an example of the believers, and in a lot of specific ways. A lot of specific things about your life are to be example of the believer. So that when somebody looks at you, they see what a believer in Christ is really supposed to look like. You're the very imprint of the gospel of Jesus walking and talking. When they see you, that's what a disciple of Jesus is supposed to be like. That's the high calling that God gives to young people. So I want to encourage all of us, and certainly I want to encourage the young people, to present their bodies as instruments of righteousness. That you have something very precious in your control, and you're turning it over. You invariably will turn it over to the influence and the leadership of someone or something else. Be careful what you do. And I want us to see what some things that the Holy Spirit has to say about this presentation that are really, I think, helpful. They are insightful, and therefore they're very helpful, that will guide us to make the right kind of decisions in this presentation. In Romans chapter 6, the question that's asked at the beginning is, are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Continue in sin? Are you kidding me? Continue in that, in the things that are in rebellion to the will of God, that put us squarely in the wrath of God? Are you kidding me? On the wrong side of judgment? Continue in sin? Could it possibly be? Is our response to the grace of God that we continue in sin? May it never be. May that thought never seriously cross our minds. That's the way it's dealt with in the very first verse of chapter 6. But in a Christian's life, there has, and I'm walking through the first part of chapter 6, now getting down to verse 12. In the life of a Christian, the thought of continuing in sin we'll never go down that road. That thought process is stopped because there has been a very unique death that has occurred in the life of a Christian. Someone who was once a sinner, once in darkness, condemned, and now they're in Christ. In that, some very unique death took place. And it happened when a person with faith in Jesus, their Savior, was baptized into Christ. And in the likeness of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they died to sin, were buried, and rose again to walk a new life. And so the death they experienced wasn't a death of the body. There wasn't a funeral service and a burial in the ground. Not that kind of death. But surely and more importantly, there was a death that happened. That there is no living connection any longer to sin. I am dead to that and rejoice daily in that. That is the very problem I've sought deliverance from, and by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, I now experience that. And the moment in time in which that happened was when we were united with Christ in His death and His burial to raise to walk a new life. And so it is clear, it is clear to a Christian that they are dead to sin and they are now alive to God, and they are grateful to the grace of God that provided a Savior, and they rejoice in such a new life. So in verse 12 of chapter 6, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so as to obey its lust. Sin's not going to stay away from you. You're still going to have to deal with it. You still have to make decisions relative to sin. And you must be careful that you don't let sin get back where it once lived and where it wants to return. It was your king. It was your master. It called the shots. It ruled things once, and it wants to get back there. And the Holy Spirit does not want us to be naive about all this. And so the admonition at the beginning of verse 12 to the one who has been raised to walk a new life is, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so as to obey its lusts. So it is either sin or God that is going to be more securely established on the throne in our hearts based upon who we let be our master, who dictates the direction of our actions, who is the boss in our lives. The question is being answered for you and for me with every presentation that you and I make of the members of our body. We take this mortal body, flesh as it is, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our voice, our emotions, and all that this fleshly mortal body involves, we take that and we offer it up to someone. And we do that by our actions. Who's dictating? And in my notes, I've got the word little things. And they are little in the sense that they happen all the time. There's not this big momentous thing. But they are not little. The actions, the presentations we make are not little, because in each presentation, in each time we do something with these instruments, our body, these parts, each time we do something with them, we are establishing one throne or another in our lives. It's either that sin's coming back and sin is establishing its roots again, or we're letting God establish His throne and His roots in our lives. And with each presentation, that's exactly what's happening. And the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that this new life in Christ, it's new in a lot of ways, but this struggle with sin is a real and ongoing and serious thing. And it's helpful to picture, or the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, what is happening when sin keeps winning. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says that Jesus presented Himself alive to the apostles. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, The Holy Spirit writes that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we are to present ourselves as workmen approved of God, rightly handling the word of truth. And in these passages, and there are many others like them, the biblical idea of presenting is shown to us. Sin wants to be our king, and sin wants us to follow the strong desires of our mortal body. These members, our hands, our feet, our voice, our thoughts, our affections, on whose side will they serve? In sin, we lift up this precious gift of our mortal bodies and we turn it over to someone, and in this case, it would be to sin. There is another common theme in the Bible that is so closely related to this, it seems so it just fits perfectly. And it's the theme of idolatry. It's a common problem facing the Jews in the Old Testament, where they accepted as somebody else a god, and they set up images and they set up places of worship and sacrifice, and they bowed down and they were guided by the dictates of this idol, this rock or stone or something, or wood or something. But idolatry is a problem facing Christians and dealt with in the New Testament as well. And the idea is that we're bowing to the dictates of someone else. And so addictions of various kinds are you know, that's an easy parallel to make. I mean, if you know somebody who's addicted to drugs or alcohol, smoking, there's a lot of things that determine, that call upon someone to respond in a way consistent with that ruling influence. And the Bible word is, we're watching idolatry at work here. There is a God that has taken place, that has taken over in the life of that person. There is a God there. It's not Jehovah. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It's in rebellion to all of that. But there is nonetheless a God. And so the theme that we're talking about, we're presenting ourselves, the instruments of our body, as instruments of righteousness or of unrighteousness. That idea is addressed in other ways in the Bible. And so it's a common issue, a common concern. And God wants His people in every generation to be dealing with that effectively. That we are presenting ourselves, the instruments of our body, to others. And the last thing I want to say about this Romans 6 passage is that the Holy Spirit wants us to know who is responsible for letting this happen. Therefore, do not let this happen. Or verse 13. Do not go on presenting. Who's he talking to? Who's the one who is the deciding influence? Who's the one that makes the call here? It's not that we've inherited sin and we just can't help it. That's not what's going on here. There's a conscious decision. Somebody is responsible for what they're going to do, this way or that way. You're either going to present the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, or you're going to present the instruments of your body as instruments of righteousness. Now, you've got to make a choice. And the Holy Spirit is pleading. Oh, he is pleading that we all see this matter clearly. That this presentation that we are making of something precious to somebody else is a decision that is ours to make, and it comes with big consequences. And it will ultimately determine who is on the throne in your life, who it is that you are bowing to worship. That's where this is going. And that's why this is really important. The spirit of our age says something like this. What I do with my body doesn't affect my spirit. I can still be a good Christian and present the members of my body to sin. Okay, that's the philosophy behind all that we might hear in our society of, oh, don't judge me because I drink. Don't judge me because I use drugs. Don't judge me because of the sexual decisions that I made. Don't judge me for all that. I could be a fine Christian and upstanding. I believe God will take me home to be with Him in glory when this life is over with. And so just don't bother me about all that. Behind such thinking is this very idea that what I do in my body is not going to affect my spirit. My relationship to God. But of all the places in the Bible where that is clearly addressed, this surely is one of those passages. You and I make a decision in all these little things that we do, okay, excuse my use of the word little, in all these little things we do, we're presenting something precious to God. We are responsible. To whom will you present today the members of your mortal body? Will they be presented to sin and under sin's direction and control and influence, firmly establishing the throne of sin in your life? Or will you be presenting the members of your mortal body as instruments to righteousness, firmly establishing the throne of God in your life? You'll make those decisions today. You may be making them right now. We all are. And we must not minimize them or blame somebody else. The responsibility for those decisions is ours. Therefore, do not go on, but rather present yourselves to God. The plea of the Holy Spirit is clear. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Felix, as the gospel was presented to him, was taught three things, basically. Acts 24, verse 25. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And it is the second part of that that seems so clearly to fit right here. That in the story of the gospel is this very important component of self-control. That's our response. We've got to decide what we're going to do. We're going to be presenting the members of our body to someone or something. That is unavoidable. But get control of this and make sure that the decisions that you and I make with our bodies are ones that result in eternal life, that there is the benefit and the outcome is eternal life, that they glorify God and establish the right kind of throne in our lives. And each time we are tempted, each time the sin of temptation to sin is presented in our lives, we need to flash back to this very passage of Scripture and to this idea that you're thinking with me about this morning. At that very moment, see yourselves as having this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and you're presenting it to somebody. Only that baby is the instruments of your mortal body, and you're presenting it to some master. And that with each temptation and in each response to that temptation, may God help us to see what we're doing at that moment that way. May God help us to see it that way. So everything about the gospel and about the grace of God and His love for us, everything that God has done for us through His Son, is to help Christians understand that we must not be on the side of sin. He begs with us, please see and please resolve that we will not present the members of our body as instruments of sin. We are doing nothing that will keep sin alive. We are not to be feeding it or flirting with it. We are dead to sin, and our lives and these little decisions thereafter need to reflect this understanding about sin and our commitment to righteousness. As I looked at these verses, I really had just one simple thing that I was hoping this lesson would get across. And that the Holy Spirit would help us see things in our lives and all these little decisions that we make, that the Holy Spirit would help us see that in the proper light. And I hope you'll take that with you, and I want to too. So that there's not anything inconsequential that we're doing, not anything insignificant. No, there's no flirting with sin that doesn't really matter. Oh yeah, it really does. And when each decision and when each moment for Christ to establish the throne of righteousness in your heart, and when sin does win the moment, run to the throne of God where there is grace and mercy to provide forgiveness and to help you in your time of need so that you'll be ready to fight against again temptations that will come. May God help us to see all of this in the right light. So I want to end by coming back for just a fleeting moment to young people. The Holy Spirit wants you to be what holiness in life looks like. What a holy, godly, righteous young person is supposed to be. That's what God wants you to be. He invites us to reflect on how we're doing. He sure pleads with us to listen to his teaching about all this. And then he knows that from time to time, we're all going to have to be doing some repenting about these things because we're going the wrong direction, or we have made the wrong kind of decision in a given moment. So to people young and old who have the opportunity now to reflect and to repent if necessary, if we can help you in any way to do these kinds of things and to make commitments for the cause of righteousness and unto God, then we hope you'll, if we can help you in any way to do that, all you need to do is let us know and we can do that. If I am talking to some people this morning who have really never become a Christian in the way the Bible describes, not in this cheap, oh yes, I'm a Christian, of course I'm a Christian kind of way. I'm talking about someone who's died with Christ and died to sin in baptism and been raised to walk a new life. If that's not what you have done, if that's not been your experience, then you are in sin and subject to the wrath of God and the righteous judgment of God that is certainly to come. You need to be delivered from that, and the good news is through Jesus Christ a way of deliverance has been provided. You need to learn about Jesus so that your faith in him is rock solid. And then on the basis of that faith, you turn from sin and you confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized with him, buried with him, raised to walk a new life. And then read again Romans chapter 6, verses 12, 13, and 14, as you begin your new life in Christ. If we can help you this morning in any way, in response to Jesus and his gospel, let us know while we stand to sing this song.